Hey, welcome to the You Might Have Missed It podcast. I'm Adam.
And I'm Nathan.
And
today we're talking about Doctor Who to start off with. So if you haven't seen the most recent episode of Doctor Who, the season finale, stop listening, go watch it, and then come back and finish listening, because there's going to be some fucking spoilers right now.
Holy cow, listener, I've come from the future. And I realized there was a huge mistake you've made. A huge mistake. You listened to this episode without watching, and you wrote me this angry email about all of the spoilers we told you. You can avoid this future, though. You can rewrite this history. If you stop now, you will not be exposed to spoilers. So you need to stop listening now, or else this angry email will become a reality. And then your parents will never dance with a high school dance, and I will fade away in a photograph. Wait, sorry, I think I'm getting my mythologies mixed up here. Anyway, Back to the Future!
Even though Back to the Future was awesome, yeah.
Oh, wow, I'm back. I cut out for a second there. What happened?
Oh, come on. Tell me that wasn't pre-scripted, and you haven't been thinking about doing that, like, all day.
It was not pre-scripted, and I have not been thinking about doing it all day.
Sure. Yeah. Anyway...
Hey, I pre-script things.
So, okay,
fine. I was going to record it without you here.
So biggest spoiler right off the bat. Okay, fine. Claire's gone. Are you happy now?
She's not, though. She's coming back for Christmas.
Is she coming back for Christmas? Because I didn't see her in the Christmas episode starting thing. The little preview thing.
No, but if you go and, you know, read stuff, you know she's coming back for it.
Oh, she's going to be there in Christmas.
She's confirmed to be in the cast.
They're going to be honest with each other, and then she's still going to leave.
Well, I don't know. That's the thing, is I don't know anymore.
Shit.
Yep. We don't know if she's leaving. We don't know if she's staying. She could be a permanent member of the cast.
We still are very excited, because Christmas episodes are awesome.
Christmas episodes are fun. I like them a lot.
Yeah, I love the Christmas episode.
I'm really excited by this one because Nick Frost is in it.
Nick Frost as
Santa. See,
the first,
or some sort of facsimile of Santa.
It took me like a second. Like, why would you cast Nick Frost as Santa? Because first of all, his last name's Frost. Santa is Saint Nick. Nick Frost, really?
Well, and that he's a rotund
like
man.
Santa, for fucking sake. It's like, this guy was
man.
Made
he
to be
beard.
Santa, except for the weird-ass fucking shows he's
no,
always
what, done what he's what he was made to be was a, with a name like that, was a Batman villain. Or a comic
Dude,
book supervillain.
Yes.
Ice-based comic book supervillain.
No, yeah, supervillain.
Nick Frost
definitely.
Was working as a comedian when one night he slipped on a patch of ice. Suddenly, he awoke with superpowers. That he uses for evil. Now instead of telling good jokes, he only tells ice jokes.
Oh God, ice puns.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Out of ice puns.
Yep. And that's his secret. That's a secret power.
That's
he's just
he
really good at coming up with ice puns.
Yeah, he just watches the old Batman with Mr. Freeze in it, played by Arnold.
Mostly he just goes like, "Ice to meet you," and then that's it.
Yeah.
Why don't you cool off?
I said,
or something
freeze.
Like that. Anyway, yeah. Very excited about Nick Frost, Doctor Who.
That will be excellent.
Okay. So into actual spoilers, I think, because that's not really a spoiler.
No.
So much. I think we got to talk about the whole arc going into this a little bit. And we talked about the first episode a little bit and kind of what our expectations were and what we were hoping for. And I came down hard on Clara as a character.
To say the least.
And I stand by that. Okay. I stand by my original assessment of her as a character. Because she really was a character that didn't really have a personality up until this season. And right. They finally, and I would have been incredibly impressed to see this personality opposite of, like Matt Smith or something like that. She is like almost a completely different character in this season compared to the previous one.
Right. She's not the happy, scrappy damsel in distress kind of thing. She's a lot more independent, well, kind of trying to do, she's trying to do both things, and that kind of split her up a bit.
Well, they gave her a personal life, and they gave her, like, mm-hmm. somebody to actually care about, and they focused on, like, giving her a job and that sort of thing. So suddenly she has an actual background, she has responsibilities, you know, she has all of this stuff she has to do. And then because they focused so much on her, it felt like the Doctor wasn't really getting a lot of characterization. So to be honest, it actually, like, so going into, like, the end of the, or the beginning of this last episode, when she turns around to the Cyberman, and she's like, well, I'm the Doctor.
Yeah.
For a minute there, you're like,
is she?
Wait, actually, I mean, they've been.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you think, could she be the next regeneration? Because that would be an interesting twist.
That would be, yeah, that would be quite the twist. And the guy who thinks he's the Doctor is just some schmuck.
Yeah, exactly. You're just like,
who's been running around, and suddenly they just do flashbacks, and, you know, it's Clara doing all this stuff, and
yeah,
I don't know what the other guy was doing. He's an android or something like that,
right? Exactly. Yeah, cool. But, you know, she has had like a very serious, like, front runner role, even like in the stuff that the Doctor normally solves. She did a lot of that too.
Yeah,
over the course of this season.
And I think part of that was trying to give her a character, because this episode wouldn't have worked at all if she was the same character that she was at, say, like the end of season 7, I believe.
Right. Just came wouldn't off have of. Had, the audience wouldn't have had the same connection, yeah, they've been like, and everything.
Some guy died. All right. That's, yeah, it's like, sad, I guess.
Okay. A companion boyfriend died. Big fucking whoop. We did that a while ago when David Tennant was still the dude.
And well, and we did it like 50 times universe. With Matt Smith. I mean, how many times did Rory die? How many times?
True that.
Die or go missing or yeah. something, presumed dead. You know, how often did those two get separated, and, you know, and so on and so forth. So that wouldn't be something entirely new.
No.
But the
way they did it, though,
that was interesting, and it was, yeah. it was fast. And I definitely think that was intentional, not just from like a, oh, well, we need to get the main conceit of this episode out of the way so we can get two Cybermen, type of thing, you know, so we can get to the action and mystery.
No, I'm sure some of it was that. This shit really happens, and this is how fast you can die.
This is how fast it happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 1 minute you're on the phone with a person, and the next minute, you know, they're dead.
Yeah, you're on the, you're on the autopsy table.
Yeah, yeah.
Turning into a Cyberman.
Exactly, exactly. Which is really just like real life.
Exactly.
But no, I mean, it was, if they didn't show that kind of buildup of anger and kind of distrust between the Doctor and Clara, and especially with Danny kind of being that wedge that kind of came between them. And to be fair, Danny, as nice as he was kind of a jerk.
Oh, yeah.
But then so is the Doctor.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, they gotten off? I think that's a lot of what Peter Capaldi's Doctor is kind of more a goal-oriented, heartless dick.
No, I disagree with that. I think he's exactly the same. He's just angrier. Because, you know, you go back and you look at, like any of them, to be perfectly honest, is if they think somebody is fairly useless, they're going to tell them that. Like, they don't tend to mince words.
True. I guess Peter Capaldi is just a little more angry about it.
Well, and go back to, like, the first new Doctor, the ninth Doctor.
Eccleston.
And look at the way he, yeah. And look at the way he talks to Mickey in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
And, and that's very similar. But no, I mean, it's not a huge personality change for him.
No.
I think the only thing is he's not younger, and so it's harder to dismiss him as being, like, a jerk or being frivolous or something like that. Mm. You know, when somebody of that kind of, I guess, stature would be the best way to put it, in that age, really lays it down. And to be fair, they dwelled on the moments longer, which was, I think, definitely a choice by the writers. Was to dwell on those moments longer and make them feel more weighty. But it, again, it's not something he'd never done before.
Okay.
He's always been very dismissive, although he was a little bit more on Danny.
Right. Which well, was and I also weird. Think it's happening a little more often. He's a lot more. Except for, what's her name? In the plane with the glasses that dies really quick.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, because she was in a previous episode.
Right, but she was cool.
Yeah, no, she was very cool.
And it was,
literally, he liked her from the earlier episodes.
I just liked it when he like literally like dropped the hint that she would be the next companion, and then the master totally killed her.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, you saw kind of like, oh well, okay, she's dead. I mean, he basically put a target on her.
Right, exactly. It's
like, you know, if the master wasn't already planning to kill her, then she would have anyway.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the master's probably going to kill her, and then the doctor talks to her like she's going to be the next companion, and now it's like, yeah, the master is going to kill her. And then when she calls her over, you're like, yeah, she's dead.
Yeah, I actually thought she would be dead sooner, although I'm confused, like, were the guards, like, paralyzed or something? Like, when she moved her hands, what were they watching?
I know, right? She's, like, putting on lipstick and
she puts on lipstick. And they're just
standing there like, huh?
She plays a hand of bridge, and they're just like, this is normal.
Exactly. Busts out a chess set. And like,
yeah. She does the electric boogaloo.
I know.
She films a YouTube video. It was weird.
Oh, right. posting that picture on Facebook.
Exactly. Hey guys, status update, hands free.
I do like how they kept the absolute crazy to the master.
See, I enjoyed her performance.
Weird
there.
Insanity.
So I'm gonna say I enjoyed that performance, and I enjoyed like the whole master thing. Like, I enjoy, you know, the craziness, the kind of neediness, the sociopathy that goes on there. And of course, the psychopathy, you know,
right,
broiled on top of there, you know, very honestly remind me a lot of like the Joker from the Batman movies.
Oh, yeah. Very
the Christopher Nolan ones.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of crazy, but like has a purpose, but mostly it's just for the lulz type of evil.
Right. The person who just wants to see the world burn.
Exactly, kind of exactly.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed that, but I was actually a little disappointed when they brought the master back. And, not because I don't like the master and didn't want to see the master ever again. It's because I really wanted to see another Time Lord. I wanted to see another Time Lord reintroduced into this new mythos. Like, I was hoping it would be like the Rainey, or it would be, his granddaughter. Or, you know, something like that. Someone like that. It was another companion who was a Time Lord. I had it like written down. I don't have it now. But even her, and like just showing the kind of like twistedness that comes, you know, from trying to escape this imprisonment, or, you know, going back and kind of showing the consequences of what happened during this time war. And what it's going to take to bring them back, and what those consequences might be.
Right. I think with the Time Lords, I mean, I think I was actually kind of depressed that those coordinates weren't actually Gallifrey.
Oh, I was so happy when that turned out not to be true.
Really? Because I was waiting for like something with the Time Lords again.
I am perfectly happy to
back
see
up
that
as antagonists.
I am perfectly happy to see that held off, because it's hard to make them antagonists right away again, because they've already been antagonists, and it's really hard to make an entire another culture antagonists, because you've got the Daleks and you've got the Cybermen and you've got, you know, XYZ right. of evil races that are, you know, Autons, the, you know, the potato heads, you know, all of those guys.
Oh my god, they need to bring those guys back.
Yeah.
I loved those guys.
They've got all of this stuff that's, you know, that's already kind of an evil race. It would be nice to see something that's not just an automatically evil group or something like that. And ultimately, I can definitely see them coming back, and I can see him kind of chafing against their authority, because that's what he's always done. in the early episodes. And a lot of what would end up happening is it would probably feel like retreads of like very, very old classic episodes where they're like, hey, you need to go do this. And he's like, but I don't want to. And then they're like, tough cookies.
Right. It was the old doctors.
Yeah.
Pre-Eccleston doctors.
And it could be that that's what the next season will be about, is him actually, you know, pushing off on this search for his home world.
Yeah, he has been kind of for Gallifrey around, hasn't he?
Yeah, no, that's what's kind of confused me a little bit, is like, it doesn't feel like he's searching for it. Right. It just kind of feels like he's like dirtling around and not, he's like, what are you doing? You know, it's out there.
Yeah, he hasn't been like actually focused on the search since he found out Gallifrey is out there in another dimension somewhere. Yeah. He's been basically doctoring around.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he does, as opposed to actually having a purpose since all of, was it the Day of the Doctor? Yeah, the Day of the Doctor.
Well, his purpose seems to have been like serving Clara. He's kind of the issue. And that's, I think, might boil back down. And kind of his realization at the end is like, I just ramble around. I'm an idiot with a box type of thing.
Yeah.
And they have to do that kind of recentering almost with every doctor, it seems like. The only one that I can think of that maybe, well, no, Eccleston had to do it too. And he did it like at the end, like at the end of his season. He's like, nope, you know, he's getting ready to kill all of the dogs. And he's like, I can't do it. Nope, I'm the doctor. That's not how I work.
Right.
And then, you know, the same thing with David Tennant is, you know, he's like, oh yeah, no, this isn't me. I just, you know, I help people out type of thing. And then, although he was definitely a bit more of the righteous vengeance doctor. And then Matt Smith.
Before destroying anybody, always giving them the choice.
Well, and the thing is it wasn't even necessarily like he would give them a choice and then destroy them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that wasn't really something like that was something that kind of went away with later doctors is they didn't really destroy people. And he was like, I will give you one chance. And then after that one chance, then he would, you know, visit his righteous vengeance down. Mm-hmm. He'd go all Samuel L. Jackson on them. It'd be scary.
And I will rain my vengeance. God, I
exactly. Love that. And you could see that being a speech.
Awesome. Yeah, you could.
But no, and then, I mean, the Matt Smith doctor had to do the same thing. And it just took him a while to get there again, which is, you know, it took him until basically the end of his run. And then he's like, oh yeah, I'm not really supposed to be this big. And then poof, he's gone again.
Right.
So hopefully that doesn't mean that Capaldi is ending after next season. He's like realized who he is, and that's the key for when the doctor dies.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, this is who the doctor really is for this, and now it's time to switch.
Yeah,
who's the new doctor?
Exactly. So I'm interested to see where this goes from here.
Ah, Capaldi's
is kind of he's good, and he grew a lot on me over these, especially these last two episodes, which were, you know, as much as they focused on Clara, they focused more on the doctor.
There was a lot of doctor growth in
that. Yeah. And I think it's because they put him under so much more pressure. And a lot of those high pressure moments where he gets to define himself got defaulted over to Clara for most of those episodes. So the episode where like, oh, you have to figure out what to do with the moon, or, oh, you have to figure out what to do with these, you know, two dimensional people, or, you know, all of these moments where he would be the one making these life or death decisions or having those last minute realizations had to go over to Clara so that this could happen. That this episode could happen and have actual resonance. And so you could see that anger and that darkness in her and actually believe that it was something that was in her and not like, oh, okay, great. The assistant is acting up again.
Right.
Which is, you know, kind of how it felt coming out of the previous seasons, which is she just did not have any sort of character development done for her up to that point. And now she does.
Yeah.
So out of the episodes that came before the finale, because obviously I think at this point we would probably both agree, and I think because it's built to be, we'd both be like, well, the finale is the best set of episodes.
Yeah,
but out of the season, not counting these last two, what do you think the strongest episode was? Like, if you had to sit somebody down and be like, this is this season in a nutshell.
The Dalek.
The Dalek?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
The connecting with the Dalek. That point where the Dalek looks into the Doctor's mind, the I see hate part. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, you would make a good, or you are a good Dalek. Mm-hmm. That I think kind of pointed where I'm thinking Capaldi's going to go. But I hope, you know, now that we've hit the finale and everything like that, and excuse me, and he's having that Doctor realization now, and, you know, moving back towards what the Doctor does. As opposed to when he first started, which was, you know, the guy that we were still questioning whether or not he was the one that pushed the guy out of the balloon or the guy jumped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, they still never answered that question necessarily.
I know, right?
my answer would have to be the two-dimensional creatures episode, only because it features less Doctor and more Clara. And that's where I think really defined this season was that interaction and that supplantation of their roles.
Right, because this reversal. Season was definitely Clara's season, as
and I think that's
the Doctor's.
Yeah, and I think that's the most fun one, and I think that shows the best interaction between them, while still focusing more on her character development than his. So I think that would have been the strongest episode, and I did like the Dalek episode, but
I loved him in the little box.
Yeah, I remember you messaging me, be like, "I want that for my desk."
Yeah, exactly. The TARDIS, the
TARDIS with the little Doctor inside.
Yeah, like right off the bat, I want that. Even
yeah.
You open the doors and it's Peter Capaldi's face, and that's
or like his hand reaches out.
Exactly. Amazing.
And the reason I wouldn't say the Dalek episode is because it reminded me too much of that first season Dalek episode.
Oh,
and
my
that
God,
encounter when the two of them had in the room, and he's like just screaming at it and about to kill it. And the Dalek looks at him and is like, "You're like me."
Oh, is that it? Did that? Okay. I'm sorry. That was Eccleston. And I've got like this mental block on Eccleston, really.
Really, what? He was a great Doctor.
He was okay.
He definitely, like, I think out of, you know, more than even David Tennant, almost, kind of defined who the Doctor was coming into the new seasons.
Yeah, Tennant had his own kind of thing, and then Matt Smith went back to kind of what the Eccleston type was.
I think Matt Smith went more classic.
He was funny as hell.
He was funny, but I don't miss him.
Colorful scarf.
I do not miss him.
You don't miss Matt Smith?
No, not at all. Every time he comes on screen, like when they showed him in the montage of like, oh, the Master was keeping us together type of thing, and they show him and I'm like, no, get him off my screen.
See, mine was... and my reaction was literally...
Bring me back Capaldi.
When Peter Capaldi looks at her and... He says, "Nice bow tie," and she says, "Bow ties are cool." I was like, "Yes, bow ties are cool."
I was like, "Oh, yeah."
Yeah.
She replaced the scarf. Okay. I was like, "Ha, ha, ha," chuckle, chuckle, chuckle.
Bow ties are cool.
But no, it was a fun episode, and I think it was a fun season.
Overall. Oh, yeah.
Even if it was... it was frustrating to watch at the beginning because you don't see where it's going.
But now looking back on it, seeing that it was Clara development.
Well, I'm still pissed off about that because I think if they had done more heavy lifting in the Matt Smith seasons, then this could have been a much better season.
Right,
but they had to do so much heavy lifting on that character. And I don't even mean that character relationship, but that actual character to bring her up to the status of being relatable and real in any sense, that it kind of took away from the season as a whole. And the payoff was great, but I think it could have been so much better if they had done that work much earlier. If she hadn't just been a plot device, and then suddenly they're like, oh crap, we need to make her a character, or this isn't going to work.
We need a companion. Shit.
Yeah, yeah. Or we need more than a companion. We need, you know, an actual human being.
Right.
For this. And so suddenly, you know, like, oh, okay, let's give her responsibilities. Let's give her, you know, something outside of the doctor to be.
I liked how the pawns went.
See, I actually like the, like when they introduce the Christmas up and they're like, and they bring in Santa and he's like, oh no, you know, things aren't resolved. You need to do this. You're not happy and she's not happy and we need to get you two together again. It's Christmas. And you know, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually really kind of happy. And keep in mind, I like noir. I like, you know, where nobody wins at the end. And in fact, somebody may have died.
Right.
The hero may have even died at the end of something. I was getting to the end and I'm like, they're not going to resolve this. Oh, wow. This is bold. This is a bold choice because they're just leaving that hanging, that ending where they're both lying to each other and they go off. And I'm like, I think this is actually how a relationship, you know, with the doctor would basically end. If you take out all of the sci-fi elements for the most part, like all of the sci-fi ways you can die, which is like, oh, my brain got fried, so I had to lose all my memories, or,
mm-hmm.
oh, we got teleported to the past, and so now we have to, you know, die together, or I'm trapped in an alternate dimension,
right.
or something
how,
like that.
How Clara just left.
Yeah. How she just kind of, well, they both just kind of left each other because, right. you know, they couldn't trust each other anymore and they didn't want to keep going through that. So it was like watching a bad relationship end and it was like, wow, you know, I've lived that. You know, I think most people have where, you know, that walk away. And it's like both people have unresolved issues with each other, but it's like, all right. And it was like, this is very real. And, it's kind of the same way with like Martha leaving at the same time. Is I almost wish they hadn't brought her character back necessarily. And again, it was fun stuff to see those old characters again, but them just kind of leaving and her leaving him in order to pursue her own life because she knew that there really couldn't be one if she continued to travel with him.
Oh, right. And then she ends up in unit.
And yeah. And then right. all of the craziness still happens anyway. And,
you know, right.
Whatevs. but you know, just that kind of like, and that was kind of the ending that I was expecting them to go with. And then I was of course delighted to see that they had the little insert in the credits where they kind of were like, no, we left this unresolved. We know.
Yeah.
We're going to resolve it for all of you now. I'm like, okay. All right. I was afraid this was becoming a different type of show. I was afraid because I was so happy it was. And now I'm still happy it's not. So I think this is one of those shows that either needs like a happy ending or it needs like a hopeful ending.
Right. It's definitely that kind of show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's fine.
Damn it.
And if I wanted that type of ending, I'd go watch more of like Luther or something like that. So there are other shows that can scratch that that melancholy itch inside right. of me. Hey, sometimes you just always need those shows.
You could always just watch some dark anime or play what? Oh God, The Binding of Isaac. Go play that.
I have played that. Did you play it recently?
Yes.
How did you feel about it?
They released it on PS4.
Oh, okay.
It's decent. It's decent, but it is depressing as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Holy damn.
Yeah, yeah, no. I mean, the whole, yeah.
Yikes. It's like excellent gameplay, amazing gameplay, but holy shit.
What, so for the listeners at home, what type of game is this?
It's kind of a top-down shooter-ish kind of thing. Like the old, what was it? Fight TV or something like that?
Really? I got more of like the old Zelda vibe from it.
Really?
Which is you're picking up items, you're, you know, going through obstacles. And then when you get into the boss fights types things, like it's not, it didn't never felt like enemies coming at you all the time. It felt like you got into a room and then kind of had to solve the puzzle of the enemies in that room or solve the puzzle of the boss.
Right.
Type of thing. So it felt more like a Zelda game to me. And then the way the screen transitions.
See, I guess I just didn't get Zelda vibe from it because I always relate Zelda to Melee.
See, I relate Zelda to like Link to the Past. That's the Zelda that I go to. That's my go-to.
Okay. See, I go to Zelda.
Well, no, that's Gold and that's still the same thing.
Yes, Zelda.
Well, you have the bombs and you have the arrows and you have all that stuff. So.
Right, but I just rarely ever use those.
That's true.
Yeah. So I can totally see where you're coming from. Zelda-ish, basically. And I love the way they got the controls. I don't know the PC controls because I never played it on PC. Mm-hmm. But I like what they did with the controls on the PS4. Joystick movement, yay. And then firing was sort of up, down, left, right.
On the PC, you tended to play with a controller, so...
Okay. Yeah, and it was like triangle, X, square, circle. Triangles up, X is down, square left, circle right. I loved that.
It's definitely a disturbing game, though. It's a lot of fun to play. It's kind of less fun to... I mean, it's fun in that, like, that kind of like, oh, that's happening? Like, that's what's going on here? Oh, God. Mm-hmm. type of thing, and realizing like, oh, that's what that means. Oh, that's what that means. Jeez.
Yeah, exactly.
But then by the end of it, you'll be like, this was fun. I don't want to do this again for a couple years. Maybe I'll revisit this game sometime in the future.
It's like, I don't think I'll let Kayla play this. I don't want a suicidal teenager.
Well, you know, let her play it when she's, you know, much older.
Yeah, exactly.
It's one of those games you pick up and you go, we'll talk about it when you're older. You'll understand when you're older.
You'll do this when you're older, probably mid-20s.
Yeah. About the time I let you start dating, young lady.
Exactly. You're mid-20s. You have left the house and graduated from college. Then
exactly.
Go for it. Play Binding of Isaac. Otherwise, do not touch this game. It is fucked up.
Play more Marvel superheroes.
Totally.
Lego Marvel superheroes.
Other big huge thing that happened this weekend
was it a really late Oktoberfest?
No, but I have been drinking Oktoberfest.
There you go.
I'm almost out. It's kind of depressing.
And you will get no more.
I know.
Was it hobo convention of hobos?
No.
Wow. Where you go and you get stabbed by hobos.
I was going to say, I don't.
It happens in a back alley in a train car. Don't ask how that happens, but they get that going for that.
So Friday night?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And Friday?
My normal Tuesday evening.
Exactly.
Hello, gentlemen.
Oh, okay. So Adam stops with the random... God, way out there things. This weekend was BlizzCon.
Giraffapalooza. Oh, BlizzCon, okay.
Shut the fuck up. Yeah, so...
All necking all week.
Yay. I'm going to really quick do WoW news. Nothing new except for the movie. And nobody's seen the trailer because it can't be seen outside of BlizzCon.
Mm-hmm.
Done.
They've shown a few actors for it. They've done that. I was like, all right.
Yeah, exactly. It's like
I'm honestly not that excited for it anyway.
the WoW movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm only saying it because it's the only real news that isn't the exact same thing that we already knew about 2 months ago.
So I think we'll save. I think the thing that I think both of us are most excited about for the end of this one.
Yes. Yes, I'm moving up my list as opposed to back because there's two things I don't know. Are you okay? Well, we'll get to that. So the next thing is Heroes of the Storm. It's still in beta. No sign of release. Truthfully, any updates on that game, I don't give a fuck because they're really actually giving the updates. Like a lot of people are playing it, which just means a lot of people are playing it. and yeah. I'm not one of them. And that
well, just, it's know. Very it's very much like, not to jump ahead of ourselves, a little bit like they did Hearthstone, which is a lot of free to play, a lot of beta testing. And you know how long, you know, Hearthstone was released, what, in May or February?
Yeah, how long before then were we playing it?
Yeah, and then, you know, I think I picked up on the beta like a year before that or something like that.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's crazy how long that thing was in beta for.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're probably doing something very similar with Heroes of the Storm.
Right, probably.
So I'm kind of curious how it will do against like a Dota or League of Legends. And I don't know if it's going to have the same pickup that Hearthstone did, but I think a lot of people are going to play it.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's I'm sorry, it's got the Blizzard stamp. People are going to play it.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah.
Will probably play it.
Another thing, Diablo 3, yay, new stuff. They're changing adventure mode a little bit to increase monster density, so running through monsters is going to be fun. They're making the dead ends and the loops shorter, which is going to be awesome. I can't wait till I don't have to, like, use every charge I have of dash in order to get to the end of the dead end that I just walked down.
Nice.
They're buffing all the pylons except for Conduit, because Conduit is overpowered as fuck to begin with.
Right.
Act 1 artisans, the crafters in Act 1 at the town will be closer together, which basically means the gem master won't be an antisocial asshole anymore. They're doing a new ancient tier of legendary and set items. So basically, like, legendaries are now going to be ancient legendaries. Yay. Big deal. And several new items, reworked items, new legendary gems, because right now there's basically three gems that everybody uses and a bunch that nobody does. Next is something that I'm kind of about. Goblins and no, I'm kidding.
I will kill you.
Stone expansion. I can't wait. It's not the thing I'm most excited about at BlizzCon.
Really? Because I am the most excited about it.
Okay. That. See, this is where we differ.
All right. So I will go into Goblin Gnomes then, because I'm very excited for this.
Do it.
I am really looking forward to a new influx of cards, which is like over 120 new cards. 150 total cards for Hearthstone. And, holy cow, some of them look really awesome. And a lot of, a lot of old mechanics coming in and new mechanics coming in. They're bringing in a lot of, random type cards, which is weird, but a lot of fun at the same time. I think this is going to really help differentiate it, a lot from other card games that are out there, like, say, Magic. Simply because the way they can handle those random elements within the game is much easier than you can do in, say, like a static paper card game.
Right.
The other really cool thing is kind of the new classes that are coming out. So we're going to see a lot of new archetypes, which is mechs is kind of their big thing with this that other cards will care about. And so it's a little bit like Murlocs, but not quite as much like Murlocs.
Those Shredders looked awesome.
Yes, the Shredders, I think my favorite one so far. And I know it's really going to be like almost totally unplayable because of the effect. but it's just so much fun that I'm going to be playing it in some decks anyway, which is that you lay it down and the battle cries that both players get equipped with a random weapon.
Oh, yeah, that one.
I love that one. Or the one that, like, summons a random minion. And not even from your deck, just summons a random minion.
Cost minion. Or a random 5-cost minion. Or a random legendary. Which, thinking about all the legendaries, that can actually be a double-edged sword, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, that could be a hugely double-edged sword. Because a lot of the legendaries are, like, come in and do something cool. And you won't get that come in effect.
Like, imagine,
or you pick up Lore Walker Cho.
or imagine, like, you're sitting at 30 life and it's like, oh, look, Jaraxxus.
Actually, Jaraxxus works.
Yeah, because if you play Jaraxxus as a like Alarmobot, yeah, he comes in as his own. So that would actually be cool.
Well, he's also a demon. So if you have, like, Sense Summon Demon or Sense Demon, whatever it is, or you have the, oh, what is the card? The Void, not the Void Terror. The demon card that, you know, you play it. If it gets killed, its death cry is to pull a random demon from your hand and put it into play.
Mm-hmm.
It does that with Jaraxxus, and he comes in as a 3/15.
Right, which would be awesome.
It's actually really terrible.
Oh, really?
Well, because he's a 315. He's got a huge butt on him, but he doesn't restore your health. Right. He doesn't summon infernals. Mm. He doesn't do anything. He's just a...
Oh, yeah,
he's just
the 6-6 infernals. Those are nice.
Yeah, those are huge. And that's part of the reason you run him in decks. So it's funny when it happens, but ultimately you're kind of like, crap. It happened again. But at the same time, it's not one that's pulling out of your deck. So that's kind of nice.
Right.
At that point, I'd be like, all right, it's not the best one I could have gotten, but it's not Mechatork. So, all right. Right. it's not Lower Workout Trow. All right, I'm okay with this.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Any of those. Sweet. So a lot of really fun effects that really I think are going to appeal to kind of the more creative players. So I think, like, for you, for example, Nate, not you, listener. I'm not talking to you right now. But, like, for you, I think it's going to be a lot more fun deck possibilities.
I can do weird shit.
Exactly. And I'm excited by that. But there's that competitive, and to use a magic term, there's the competitive spike in me that's like, these random effects are dumb. They don't do what I would need them to do 90% of the time. But I'm still looking forward to playing around with those interactions. Mm. And I think when the new set comes out, if I got the dough for it, I'm going to be picking up a digital box of them. To open on stream.
40 pack.
Exactly.
Totally happening.
I'm tired of not having the new cards. I'm tired of not having all the cards I want, damn it. So I'll probably be doing that when that comes out. I'm just super excited. I'm super excited to see all of the, kind of the card reveals and the news and kind of to see how these play out in Arena as well. Cause I think that'll be super interesting.
And on the card pack thing, just opening those card packs is going to be completely different than it is right now. Cause like you open it now and it's like fucking commons, more commons. Mm-hmm. If it's not even rares, like for people who buy packs, even rares, it's like, it's rare, whatever. If it's not epic or a legendary, it's like big deal.
Yeah. It's definitely going to, push some new life into the game for sure.
Yes.
You know, I think more than Nax did, especially more than Nax did. Cause I mean, you know, that was what a set of, God, like
Nax was a random adrenaline shot that lasted a very short amount of time that established a lot of excitement for the game very quickly, but then died off really bad. And you just kind of wanted to take a nap.
I wouldn't necessarily say that. I didn't actually want to take a nap.
I kind of wanted to take a nap.
I really enjoyed it, and I really enjoyed watching the new card interactions and stuff like that. I still enjoy it quite a bit.
And that's what I'm saying is like it only lasted like a month and a half or 2 months and then dropped.
Yeah, I still like messing around with my decks and stuff like that. I haven't been able to play as much as I wanted to, but it's been a lot of fun to see the new stuff and to get kind of that excitement back up for what's coming. Mm-hmm. And then I'm hoping that we'll see another expansion some point, sometime around like summer or late spring next year would be my hope. maybe another small infusion or something like that.
I think we're definitely, cause it's coming out in December. We're definitely, once it comes out, and just so you all know, we will more than likely be doing at least one Hearthstone special on it.
It's true. It's true.
It's going to happen. Just accept it. Because, I mean, I may say, you know, I don't play much Hearthstone anymore, but 150 new fucking cards with shit that I can play around with, hell yes, I'm going to be playing it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so be prepared for that, because it's going to happen.
All right, so moving on to your exciting
news. Oh my god, Overwatch looks so awesome.
So Overwatch, for those who have not been watching BlizzCon, is their attempt at a first-person shooter game, like FPS.
Oh yeah, it's their Team Fortress
2. Yeah, their Team Fortress 2.
Totally. And I looked at it, and see, I mean, I'm looking at, you know, I mean, look at what they have, and you also have the StarCraft stuff, but
neither of us play StarCraft really, so
yeah.
Neither of us really understand what any of those changes mean.
Exactly, that's kind of like a
new units.
They're finishing the story. I didn't get through the second one.
Yeah, awesome. I didn't even. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
great.
Truthfully, I didn't get through the first one either. But
I got through the first one, and I got to the end of it, and I was like, I don't care anymore.
Yeah,
was the problem? I'm like, I don't like any of these characters,
but and
they're all jerks, and they're not even the fun jerks, they're just jerks.
Yeah, pretty much. But one thing that's making me excited about Overwatch is new Blizzard franchise. Holy crap, how long has it been since that's happened?
No, that's actually really huge, is them branching out and building something almost brand new,
diversifying their portfolio. And it's not just like, hey, we took the StarCraft characters and made them into a first-person shooter. It's actually a completely different game, completely different character set. Even though I forget her name because they're new, the main one that they pick out because they're all the developers' favorites. She's the little teleporting chick.
Yeah,
she reminds me of. Do you remember the StarCraft Ghosts game that was going to come out?
Yeah.
Reminds me of the main character from that.
Well, and to be fair, you can definitely see the art style and the design style going through that from like all of the other Blizzard games. You know, you look at the dwarf with the turrets. It's like, oh, that's totally a WoW reference.
Exactly.
And then the little robot that changes and, you know, that's kind of cool. But I'm like, oh, that looks very much like all of the little WoW robots. And then you look at like the ghosts, you look at the sniper and it reminds you very much of like the snipers from StarCraft and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So you go through it and it's like, okay, you know, they're wearing their influences on their sleeve in this one. And while it's very new, it's also very familiar.
See, and
which is, I think, what's got me a little bit like, I'm excited for it, but I'm also a little lukewarm for it.
Well, and see, I went through and actually looked at like all the different abilities and everything like that, because they actually do have on their website, they do actually have all of the different abilities that the characters are going to have on the website with, you know, like descriptions of what they are and everything like that.
Well, they had a playable it was playable at
PlayStation. Yeah, it was a playable demo.
It's not even a demo, it's just a playable game.
Yeah.
Down at BlizzCon, so it was kind of like, oh, okay, this is not something that's like they're announcing. This is not an alpha project for them. This is probably beta level, for the most part.
It's probably late alpha at least.
I expect it's much further along than that.
Probably,
given how much detail is in there.
All the stuff they're releasing. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
That sort of thing. And I'm sure there's still bugs to be worked out.
Right.
And you're going to have those, especially once you start getting like mass play going on in the game. Mm-hmm. But I would expect to see that. Did they announce a beta for it at this point?
They didn't.
Okay. Yeah. So I would expect to see that in the next couple months at the very latest.
Yeah. There's only a few things that they've announced. It's going to be PC only initially. Initially,
that's no surprise.
In the future, who knows? They did actually come out and say that it's kind of like TF2, Team Fortress 2, but it's less focused on getting someone in your crosshairs and shooting them, and more focused on the different abilities that each character has.
Yeah, it seems like they're going for kind of they're taking a lot of the lessons they've learned doing Heroes of the Storm.
Right,
and they're like, applying, so it's kind of a first-person shooter MOBA
kind of. Yeah,
it reminds me actually, now that I think, a little bit of like say like Smite or something like that.
Right. Yeah, that's what a lot of people were throwing out was Smite.
Because it's Smite. You know, very ability based, and like you said, much less crosshair, you know, headshot or type of thing. You know,
exactly. Based. They were also saying that with the gameplay, you're probably going to be dying less often. Than you would on, like, say, Team Fortress 2 or any of those, because Team Fortress 2, let's be honest, if you survive for a good minute, you're sitting around going, man, I've lived a long time this life.
That, or you're just really good. I mean, that's, you know, that's the other side of it, is you've spent a lot of time learning to play.
Well, that's the thing. You're really good, but with the matchmaking system, you're also paired up with people who are really good and you're all still killing each other rather quickly.
Yeah, for sure. And believe me, I've only like jumped into a couple TF2 games, so it's hard for me to kind of throw that out there.
I did a bit of TF2. It was pretty fun.
I did a lot of the original Team Fortress, but
I never played
not much TF2. The
original Team Fortress.
The Quake mod.
Right.
All the time.
Pricing model. No fucking clue.
Probably
it's not even like I have no fucking clue. They specifically came out and they said, "We have no idea how we're going to do this."
I think they do. I think that's disingenuous to them because they've probably been in the business side for so long.
They've probably got more ideas than a few inklings of what they have or what they're doing. Probably like they've got we're going to go with one of these four models. We just don't know which one yet.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Yeah, and I would expect
it's new engine, and of course Team Fortress 2 joke was thrown in there. There's no word on whether or not you will have your own hats.
There you go. My guess, though, is they're going to go for cosmetic changes for the most part.
I would be okay with that.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a good model. But they're going to need to go free-to-play with it because they have a lot of fierce competition. So they can't really release it as a game. In the sense, they can't release it as like a AAA. Oh, we're going to charge you money to buy into the game.
Well, yeah, it doesn't have a storyline. It doesn't have a story mode, so you can't.
Well, it doesn't have a story. It doesn't even matter if it has a story mode. I mean, that's really secondary, to be honest. If it did have a story mode, I would actually be even more nervous about the game.
Right, because then you'd be looking at Call of Duty going, fuck, that has a story mode.
Well, and like even like, you know, looking at games like Destiny or, Call of Duty is a really good example. Destiny is actually
really depressed when you said Destiny.
You look at really any game that's built for multiplayer PvP, and if they throw a story mode in there, it's tacked on and it pulls resources from actually getting the PvP right.
Right.
And that would be unfortunate because I think this game has a lot of potential to be a really good kind of arena-based PvP game.
I can't wait.
It would be like if they tried to throw a story mode in Hearthstone, for example.
Oh, you mean like Naxxramas?
Naxxramas. To be fair, Naxxramas as a story mode.
It was not a story mode. It wasn't. It was a tiered progression tournament style kind of thing.
Exactly. It was a fun little way for them to improve the AI and mess around with that a bit.
Right, exactly.
And to add, you know, puzzles and challenges and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it was interesting, to be fair.
It was to make the innkeeper more interesting to play against, basically.
Exactly. To test that AI to see if they could get it to really mimic actual. And they really haven't gotten there yet.
No. There's certain things you can do to that AI that just make it completely
broken. Exactly. That just break it. which they actually, to their credit, fix more than a few times. But no, it'll be interesting to see how they build that. My expectation for the business model, though, is definitely very much like Dota, very much like Heroes of the Storm, that sort of thing, which is you buy new clothes, you buy new effects for the characters. And I honestly, I would be surprised and a little disappointed if they don't do the same thing that like Dota 2 does, which is open those kind of mods to the community and let people work on modding the game, modding costumes, creating that sort of thing, and kind of giving that back. So they create these two separate branches of people who love the game. There's people who love the game because they're competitive. They love that PvP atmosphere. And then there's the people who love the game because of that creative side, where they can either express themselves by submitting stuff, or they can express themselves by, like, essentially buying stuff and, you know, playing dress-up with their character, which nothing wrong with that. That's a perfectly legitimate way to play.
Thank you for acknowledging that, you asshole.
hey, I am a huge fan of The Sims. So, I am playing with my paper dolls and playing with my dollhouse all freaking day. So I am not in a position to judge you. anyway, it looks exciting.
I can't wait. New games. All the new games.
All the new games.
So many
all the new games.
Coming
all the new Who.
So much happening in the next couple weeks.
It's crazy. We're gonna have a lot to talk about, I think.
Huh?
We're gonna have a lot to talk about, I think. In the meantime, you can find us over on Facebook at facebook.com/YMHMI. Of course, on our own website over at ymhmi.com. You can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/YMHMI. And you can find us on Google Plus and, of course, YouTube at / You Might Have Missed It. Nate, any final words?
Yeah, Overwatch is seriously going to be like a shut up and take my money kind of thing. It totally is. I don't care. And it is going to be so I could dress myself up pretty.